and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today, I'm very pleased to be speaking with Leticia and Gabriela Velasquez. Thank you for joining us today, ladies. And I understand you guys are going to the March for Life down in Washington, D.C. on January 22nd.
That's right.
And this is, what, the 36th anniversary?
I believe you're right. Yeah, 36 years.
And so it was 36 years ago that Roe v. Wade was passed by the Supreme Court. And so it's a pretty big event, and it's a yearly thing. Yeah. And I understand that, Gabriela, you have been going for quite some time.
Yeah, since I was about the age of 4. Yeah.
Wow. So you go every year. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about some of the experiences, the earliest experiences you have from the March for Life.
Well, like I said, I've been going since the age of 4 with my mom and my dad and my sister with our parish bus in Long Island. And up till recently, I've been going with my mom the day before the March for Life. And we spent the night in the morning before the march. We would go to Blogs for Life and hear all these wonderful speakers. Like last year, they had Senator Brownback.
Wow.
Kathy McMorris Rogers, Jill Stanek, mm-hmm. the nurse. And it's just, I love that the most. And this year, I'm going back to going with the bus with my school.
So you're going to go without your parents for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
A lot of your friends are going from school.
Yeah, we have a pro-life club, so we're trying to recruit everyone we can to go this year.
Oh, excellent. How many girls do you think you're going to be able to recruit?
Hopefully 20.
Wow.
Just help to fill the bus, yeah.
Oh, excellent. So tell the viewers who haven't gone to the March for Life, what is it like? What's your impression of the March for Life?
Well, if you go in the bus, you go early in the morning. It's a little tiring, but when you get there, it's tons of people, young people, mostly young people, but older people as well, coming together to support this amazing cause. And it's not usually the best weather, but that sometimes affects it. But in the morning, you usually go hear the speeches. They have all these famous people come and speak before the march to kind of like a pep rally right before the march. And then we march down Constitution Avenue. We have people praying the rosary, signs everywhere, people from all over the country. It's really amazing. And afterwards, some people gather at the Hyatt mm-hmm. or Union Station. But at the Hyatt, they have these tables, Rock for Life, and ALL, I believe, have tables set up. You can buy pro-life paraphernalia and speak with your friends that you haven't seen, which I love that part because you get to spend time with people you love and really help support the pro-life cause. And it just means a lot to me to go every year. It's part of my year. My year's not complete without
something
going.
That you look forward to.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
Have you seen changes over the years in the March for Life at all?
More young people have definitely been coming. Like, I don't remember how my earliest years, but yeah, recently.
Yeah, I think I've seen the same thing. And I think you've mentioned that before too, Leticia, that you've seen.
I started at Gabby's age. I started a pro-life group in my Catholic school, girls' school. And I was 17 at the time, the first time I went down in the 70s. And I was one of the younger people there. Now I'm on the other end of the spectrum. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy to see that it's a burgeoning, growing movement. And the people like Gabriela realized that they could have legally been aborted.
Right.
Of course, no way would have been aborted. But anyone under the age of, 36, could have been aborted. And one-third of their generation is missing.
Yeah.
As a teacher, I look out in the classroom, and one-third of the students aren't there because we aborted them in the richest country in the world. It's such a tragedy.
I
made my daughters aware at a very early age of the tragedy of abortion, even when they were in strollers. You know, we brought kids down in strollers, and fortunately, you have the hotel you can duck into if it's very, very cold. But one of our favorite things is to go in to meet our congressmen and our senators and let them know that we're down there.
Right.
And sign the book. And usually they're not there.
Right.
But one of my favorite times is I went into Senator Moynihan's office. This is when we were in New York. And told his assistant that Hillary Clinton was running for his slot. And he was shocked. He had no idea. And his first response is, heck, I'm moving to Canada. This is a Democrat. I really enjoy that. But I don't know if he moved or not. And Hillary, as you know, did get the slot in New York. But so we try and meet up with our congressmen. Sometimes they're not welcoming. I don't know whether Representative Courtney will be as welcoming as
Their office, we went there last year, and he wasn't there until after we were leaving, and we got a picture with them. But we did, as the kids say, leave complaining letters.
Okay.
And, and signed his book. And the people in his office were very gracious. And, you know, but I think they need to feel your presence. You know, they need to know you're there.
It's definitely worth going there, at least sign your name, say, I'm here and I believe in this, and just letting you know, even if you're not here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we try to go every year to a different one, if whether it's Dodd or Lieberman or Courtney, whoever's the representative at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important because I know that the people, most of the staffers know how many people are there because a lot of times you see them in the office buildings, you know, looking
out. It's hard
to
ignore the
size
of the crowd.
And watching the crowds walking by because you're never going to see from the media what the crowd looks like. You really don't.
The only
it's
media
amazing.
I feel really covers is the foreign media. I was interviewed one time by Japanese TV.
No
and they
kidding.
They were panning down Constitution Avenue. They interviewed me by Rudy Giuliani. I'd love to see myself speaking Japanese sometime. But, they would pan the crowd, the Polish TV, and there was Irish TV. Of course, EWTN is very faithful. But I don't even think C-SPAN is there anymore. And I haven't seen Fox in a couple of years. But they were there a couple of years ago, I think the second inauguration of Bush. They were there, obviously covering the inauguration 2 days before. But it was odd. Last year we were there the day after the inauguration, and nobody stayed to cover the march.
Right.
They were gone. It was a real blackout.
Right.
They weren't interested in us at all. So it gets discouraging some years. But those are the years you really have to keep
persisting. But you don't go down to be covered by the media or anything. You really go down to make your presence known to the people down in Washington, D.C.
And now we have alternative media. I mean, Blogs for Life encourages live blogging and live webcams, and now we have alternative ways. The Friars cover it at airmaria.com. So we have Facebook, and we have alternative means of letting people know that it's out there. Last year, we were interviewed by a man who's doing Silent Fall, which is a documentary about abortion, and he's going all over the world. And he interviewed me about starting kids. So there's also another documentary on the March for Life itself. So independent filmmakers, thanks to the internet, are able to get movies out there. That don't rely on the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. We're managing to circumvent that process, and they love to get the young faces.
It's
so encouraging.
So, Gabriella, and you, since you were born, you know, most everybody's been brought up with pro-choice America. So, how do you feel? How do you talk to some of your contemporaries that might be pro-choice or pro-abortion?
I try to convince them and go from the mother's point of view, even if, like, a teenage mother, like, use them as an example. Like, if you were to get pregnant, what would you do? And they'd say, most of them would be like, oh, I'd be so scared. I don't know what to do. I wouldn't want to go to my parents. I wouldn't want to do anything. I'd want to go just get rid of solve the problem.
Right.
I'm like, having an abortion does not solve the problem. It just creates more. It may solve it for the moment, but in the long run, it is the most tragic thing you could ever do. And, like, I would encourage, I haven't come across anyone who has had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Or who is thinking about it, but I would encourage them to definitely speak to, I would give them a number of a crisis pregnancy center and try to get them some help and let them know it's okay.
Really, to start the conversation is the best thing. You know, when you say you talk to the people, talk to the girls that aren't in the crisis pregnancy. You know, so if you talk about it before somebody gets into that situation, then they're better able to handle it once they find themselves in that situation. So if more and more young women, young men like yourself, talk to your, you know, friends about these situations, when they are faced in that situation, they will have, you know, they'll know what the options are before that. Because, you know, like you say, the first thing they think of is they'd be scared. They don't want to tell their parents. But if they talk about it, you know, beforehand, I think that's the key, is getting the conversation started and talking about these things.
Absolutely.
Even at my school with the pro-life club, even the girls at the school, they may not be thinking, they might not be in that situation ever, but we want to tell them because they might know people or have friends outside of school that may be in that situation, and they'll know what to tell them because of our pro-life club and what we've been telling them for all school year.
No, that's a great goal to do, because, like you say, you might not ever face that situation yourself, but having the information to then help somebody who is in that situation is great.
Yeah.
I know that you've been going down, like you said, since you were four. You've always been pro-life. Has your perspective changed at all since the birth of your sister?
Oh, Christina?
Yeah.
With the Down syndrome? Oh, I love her to death now. I was a little scared in the beginning when my mother told me. I'm like, she's going to be rejected. Society's not going to love her like I do. People aren't going to see what the potential she has. But now it's most of the reactions I get when I'm with her are positive.
Sure.
And I'm so happy with that. She's such like a good example of like why you shouldn't abort a disabled child, because they're so beautiful and full of life. So now all the time. But yeah, I love her. She's a great witness to pro-life cause too.
So that just energized your resolve.
Yeah,
for the
even
pro-life.
More.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know last year your mom received an award from the American Life League for her mm-hmm. blog. How did that make you feel?
I was very proud of her for winning that award last year. We, she with the award, she got 2 free nights in a hotel.
Ooh.
So we were able to go. I was
I
able
like
to
that.
Go down.
God reaps the benefits.
Yeah.
But she also helped me watch Christina while I went up to get the award, and she developed a cold. So she wasn't too pleasant at the time. We had a rough night with her before, but thanks to Gabriella, who's like a second mother to her.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah,
I'll bet.
Yeah, we were able to receive the award, and it was a family event.
So, you know, that's the coward's way out, going in a hotel.
Oh, I like it.
It's a smart way.
But
we
even
did
the
that
hotels
once,
are friendly,
really nice.
Diana. They give you discounts if some certain hotels if you're with it.
I tell you, it was
beautiful
cheap
hotel.
To go down. Yeah, we were right downtown, and we had a really cheap room. I was shocked. Because then I looked and I thought, well, man, if it's this cheap, you know, I'm going to bring my family down for a vacation. But then I looked at the real prices, like, I don't think so.
You got
we'll
a
never
deal.
Afford it.
You got a deal. And it's nice because the whole town, at least the night before, in certain, I think it's the Phoenix Park Hotel, the Dubliner Pub, mm-hmm. everybody's pro-life. You meet Nora McCorvey of Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade and Father Pavone and all these people that you, Alan Keyes, that you've only seen on television before, and they're right there and you can talk to them. And for a pro-life kid that's grown up pro-life, it's as good as Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. So, these are all the stars, you know?
Yeah, the pro-life moment, yes.
You know,
that's
and you get to
awesome.
Shake their hands.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, are you guys going to meet up at all when you guys go down this year?
Are we?
Are you going to try to avoid
she
her?
She knows the town by now. She knows she knows her way around. She's with her school. I'm going to be doing kids, so I'll be doing my group. I would like to have you come if you can.
I will meet up with her.
But, you know, with 200,000 people, sometimes you're packed in like sardines, and you just can't move.
You can't move,
There's so many people that you'd like to move, but you'd have to literally elbow your way through the crowd. And sometimes it's not possible.
Thing, having so many people there, but also can be somewhat hard to meet up with people.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. It's amazing because I know the groups tend to, they started to do the scarves or the hats.
Yeah,
you know,
we do
same
that,
color,
yeah.
You know, so you could try to,
you know,
match up and everything. But it's amazing that you actually run into people that you don't expect to see.
Yeah.
That's right.
Have you guys had that experience?
Well, every year. Every year we...
Several of my friends I've seen, who I haven't seen all year, I meet in Washington, which is so ironic. It's so
that's right. Or people that moved away years ago that'll show up there.
Yeah,
a lot of our friends,
to different states, but
Virginia,
we all
North Carolina,
to March for Life.
And it's amazing because I've been there where I've been trying to find somebody that I know. You know, we had cell phones and everything, and we couldn't meet up. But
so
actually run into somebody that you know is really miraculous many people there.
It certainly is. It's very encouraging to see that. And sometimes the people you don't know, but year after year you get to know them. This lady, Christina Bogdan, she comes from the Philadelphia area. Number of children, and she's got a beautiful son with Down syndrome, and she brings them in a wagon every year. And she really was my inspiration to start this, because I said, you know, here she is and I am both with children with Down syndrome. We should form a group, and now she meets us. And my friend from northern Vermont comes, and we have friends from Virginia. Now I'm going with a doctor from Hartford. I'm going down. So we do manage to gather at the National Right to Life Center. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
But we picked up people along the way. And we were a pretty formidable group by the time we were done. We were about 60 people.
Wow.
And hopefully this year we'll have even more and meet those congressmen and thank them for the good things they've done. This year they increased funding for Down syndrome research from the stimulus funds. So we're happy for that because you know, the more you know about Down syndrome, the more cures we can find. So that's a good thing. And we'll thank them for that. We can thank Patrick Kennedy for his work with the Down syndrome caucus, though we may not be happy with some of his other work that he's doing. But Senator Kennedy, his father, also sponsored some good legislation for prenatal diagnosis to help mothers who are faced with an unfavorable diagnosis, to give them information. So we are grateful for that. So there's a couple of attaboys and a couple of warnings to congressmen that haven't been favorable to life, and we need to deliver those too. We need them to know we're not going anywhere. This movement's doing nothing but getting stronger. Now, last year at Blogs for Life, they encouraged us to use Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And now I've got over 800 Facebook friends, and they're all pro-life.
Wow.
Well, not all of them. We have some that are still on the border, but we're working on that. And we can share information and just a click. And it's just amazing how quickly groups will spread and grow, and prayer groups and action groups. And I was just invited to a pro-life conference in Ireland. I said, oh, I'd love to go, but I'm not sure about attending. You know, I have friends all over the world in Spanish as well. So it has become a powerful, powerful tool. It was told to us last year that Obama was elected through Facebook. Well, you know, if he can be elected, then we can also get our things passed that way, too. I mean, my daughter was a little surprised when I started picking up Facebook. Hey, Mom, it's a teenage thing, you know? Get off, you know? It's my
friends
thing.
And me.
And I allowed my... See, she was
well,
allowed.
Well, she's older.
I'm older. Just think of how many age ranges I take in, you know? But also, she's a little restricted. You know, you have to be careful with a beautiful young girl that, you know, with an older woman. I figure, hey, what can happen?
So, now, when you go down, you're going to go down with your friends on the bus. Are there friends that have never gone before?
Yeah, and I'm trying to get them to come this year. It's like, I'm like, first of all, it's a day at a school. That's a good thing. I'm trying to make it positive. It's like, it's a lot of walking. It's all day. It's cold. I'm like, oh, come on, please. I've done it every year. You can do it. I know. I'm still alive. I'm still here. I can still walk. I'm like, it's a great experience. Everyone should go. And it's so encouraging to see so many young people there, because we're the future of America.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have to let everyone know that pro-life is an important cause we need to support.
Yeah, and from all aspects, you know, those young people at the march, you know, those are our future doctors and nurses and politicians and all of the people who are important to reverse this trend, this culture of death.
Absolutely.
You know, we need all these people to
media
infiltrate the media.
College professors.
Absolutely.
You're going to shape the next generation. And of all the people we took down, we've dragged a few other people down. What was their reaction when they came down with us? You remember those girls we took from my religion class?
Yeah, they were reluctant to go. One of them, I remember, didn't want to go, but the other one dragged it along. They were really surprised. They wanted to come again next year.
Excellent.
Like the year after that, because they were so blown away by it.
What was their hesitation? Why were they?
They were lazy. They didn't want to walk all day. To tell you the truth, that was it.
They took pictures, graphic pictures, and brought them into school, into public school, and were showing it to all their friends. I was very surprised with that. I did not expect them. Some of the pictures they bought
that's what really shocked them or really caught their attention.
Woke them up.
It was like a chain reaction. We told them, we let them know about this. They tell their friends, and you know, it spreads.
Absolutely. Because, of course, you know, most women who go into have an abortion, they're told, and they believe that they're just aborting a blob of tissue.
That's right.
They just really think that it's just a mass of cells, like they say even about human erect stem cells. But really, you know, by the time a child is old enough to abort, that child has hands and toes and, you know, a little heart beating. And so the graphic pictures, as heartbreaking as they are, they really do...
It's the truth. It's not sugarcoating anything.
Right. And so you're saying that some of the girls that didn't want to go, they ended up going, and they were really glad that they went.
Yeah.
What was the thing that made them happy that they went?
Well, they were... amazed to see how many people actually went down and cared about this cause, and they know how bad it was, like with those pictures. Mm-hmm. And we explained that this is what happens, that they are aborted at so many weeks, and sometimes even later, like late-term abortions, even more horrible. But they were just woken up by it. I didn't think they really knew what abortion was, or they've been told lies about it.
Mm-hmm.
So once they knew the truth, they were like, I'm pro-life now. I want to go next year.
Wow, converts.
Yeah.
Some new kids who had been involved with abortion. But again, because of the media blackout, they're not really told the truth.
Right.
They haven't seen, you know, pictures of an unborn baby or an aborted baby. And they really had no idea what it was like. You know, they just heard their friend went and it's all over. And it seemed very simple. But unfortunately, they weren't told the truth. Right. So we were able to help open the door a little bit and educate them, and they've never been the same.
Wow.
Yeah, they're from Latin America. They were teenagers. And when I was teaching Latin Americans, at that time there were no abortions, legal abortions,
sure.
in Latin America. It was unthinkable to many of these kids. And for them to understand that abortion is legal throughout 9 months of pregnancy in the richest country in the world, and it's so common, and that Latin Americans are the second highest rate of abortion after African Americans,
sure.
it's a real tragedy. Because when I was working in a public school, Planned Parenthood was coming into the school and recruiting them. And it's really nothing more than marketing.
Yeah.
You know, they need young people to start on birth control because then it will fail. It's a given. And then they'll depend on abortion. And it's a chain. And they know it. They get them in the door with the condoms and the different promises they make. And next thing they know, they're in crisis. And they develop a confidence with them. Oh, you can come to us.
Sure.
And tell your mother.
Right, we didn't tell your mother about the birth control,
right.
and we won't tell her about
That's
the abortion.
Right. We're your friends.
Right.
And they separate mother and child,
yeah.
and they become the confidant. And even kids with good parents, it might freak out a little bit if they were pregnant and get mad, but would come through in the end. They create a barrier there so that
right.
they feel Planned Parenthood is on their side. When they have to realize this is the biggest abortion business in America, and last year their business doubled.
Wow.
Thanks to the Obama administration, their business doubled. They're subsidized by the taxpayer to the tune of billions of dollars. And we pay for this
business. They're nonprofit,
business.
Yeah.
Nonprofit, yet we pay for it because they'll say, well, this goes in this end and this
right.
doesn't go for abortion. But the more money they have on this side,
the more they can do abortions.
And many times they've done it on underage girls. I met Lila Rose. We met Lila Rose, who's a young woman.
Last year, yeah. That was amazing to hear her stories about how she went undercover to the different Planned Parenthoods and underage with this overage boyfriend, and they just like, okay, we won't tell anyone
right.
that you were here or whatever. We'll just help you
yeah,
get along with the abortion.
Don't tell us how old your 30-year-old boyfriend
yeah,
is.
Yeah, lie about it, and we will help you get done what you need to get done.
Kind of like Acorn.
Basically,
yeah, basically.
Same thing. And she goes into state after state, and very few states have even done anything about it. In fact, one girl who was pro-life was attacked. You know, one of Lila Rose's people was attacked.
Wow.
So. She's really putting her neck out there.
Well, and she's only highlighting what's really going on
Absolutely.
Because there was that one woman, girl, who had been abducted and was raped by a man, and he kept her in his house for over a year, and had taken her to a Planned Parenthood for an abortion. Now,
that's who they're helping.
If we would have had parental notification in this state, at least her parents would have known she was alive. And, you know, would have found her their child. But, no, this guy was allowed to rape her repeatedly.
You're protecting the offenders.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
You're not it's protecting crazy. The girls. You're not helping the girls. In many cases, then they'll bring her back home, and she'll be molested or raped again, or it's a relative. And, again, there's no parental notification. Nobody cares how old she is. Nobody cares if this is a felony. They only care about the bottom line. And that new the new recruit we have to the pro-life movement, Abby Johnson, was the director for Planned Parenthood. She didn't even know what was going on in her own clinic. All she knew is that she had to get the numbers up.
Yeah.
Tell the girls what you need to tell them to get your money.
Right.
Okay, when she first saw a sonogram of a child...
Being aborted.
And she had a child at that age at the time. I believe she was pregnant or she had had a baby. Her eyes were open.
Right.
Well, the other story is that people have been praying at 40 Days for Life outside her clinic for years. Twice a year for 40 days, people have been praying and fasting for her conversion.
That was the first 40 days.
In College Station,
right.
Texas. Right.
Yeah.
So now she's a leader in the pro-life movement, and she's got a very powerful witness to what the other side is
right.
doing.
The other side can't say she's lying because she was there.
They tried to issue a gag order, and it
yeah.
was stopped in court, thankfully, because they don't want that to
that?
Get out.
Oh, I know.
They don't want that story to get out. They want to be seen as pro-women, that we're helping women. But where are they when these women are depressed and anorexic and substance abusers and self-abusers and suicidal
yeah.
years later? They're not there for them.
No.
They're denying that their suffering of post-abortion syndrome even exists.
Right.
In fact, much of the medical community will deny that it exists. Every time a study comes out saying that women are traumatized by abortion, they're naysayers on the other side saying, oh, that's a lot. Yeah, that's nonsense. You know, priests will tell you 40, 50, 60 years after an abortion, women are still carrying it.
Yeah.
A burden of guilt, and their lives are destroyed
right.
by it. They can't love their future children. They feel distant from them. They
yeah.
they feel like no one should love them, and nobody should have to go through that.
I know.
You get them when they're young.
Studies after study indicate that, you know, women, post-abortive women, have all sorts of issues and
yeah.
all sorts of problems, including child abuse
That's
of
right.
subsequent children.
That's right.
And it's amazing to me that it was actually the bishops that recognized this so quickly and started Project Rachel.
Yeah.
And for post-abortive women, you know, and so there are pro-life organizations that help these women, whereas Planned Parenthood is not there for them.
Absolutely not, because then they would be admitting they're doing something that hurts women.
Right.
You know, they call it a difficult choice, but they refuse to say why it's difficult, okay, because they don't want to say abortion's bad. Mm. You know, but everybody knows that. Well, maybe not everybody, but we're working on it.
Right. Yeah, we're trying to get it out that it's not that's not all they make it out to be.
So what do you hope to accomplish at this March for Life? I know you're going with your friends. What do you want to show your friends?
I want to show the people I've never been to get help them get more involved with it and be join the pro-life club at school, for one. Second, tell their friends. Come every year. Be a sign of pro-life in your, not just in school, but in your community as well. If you have youth groups, invite them to come next year.
Right, right.
And tell them about your experiences and how
bring
it affected you. Yeah,
yeah.
Family, friends, whatever.
Could you picture, I mean, I know how huge the march is, but if every person that went to the march last year brought another person with them this year, you know, it would just be phenomenal. It would just double in size.
Somebody might actually cover it then.
They might have to, because they'd be flowing into the offices and everything.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
It is just a great experience. I'm so glad that, you know, I went my first time, and I know my favorite story is being down at the Hyatt, you know, going through some of the booths, and the Priest for Life had a booth, and there's a little pin that had a blob of tissue, or a fetus, or whatever you want to call it. but my son was 15 months old, and he pointed to the picture and said, "Baby."
See, he knows.
I mean, and that just, it blew me away that here's a 15-month-old who could barely talk. I mean, he had very limited...
But he knew. He knew what he saw.
Vocabulary.
He knew.
But he knew that was a baby.
Beautiful.
And I just made me, you know, totally convinced that I need to go and I need to take my kids and we need to get this movement going. And it's a positive thing to do.
That's right. Yeah, that's definitely true. And we bring our other kids too. Our 12-year-old and Christina will go this year. And so we bring the whole gang. But we are increasing in numbers. It's definitely true. And Gabby's doing a great job in her school because she has a voice that I don't have as the mother coming in.
And like peers, telling peers is more effective than teachers or parents telling them to do something, because they're not going to want to listen, most of them.
Yeah, and it really teaches you leadership skills, you know, really gives you the confidence to lead a group of people, and for such a good cause, too, you know, not some, you know, like homecoming dance preparation or something.
No, it's
something more meaningful than that.
Thank you so much for joining me today, ladies, and I hope you have a really great March for Life and come back on fire.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. We hope you can make it down to the March for Life. If not this year, then plan for next year. It's always on January 22nd. We hope that you look in the mirror next time and realize yours, too, is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.